Hi there, my name's Jonathan Leeming and welcome to One World Conversations. Chapter 3, Misspent Value, Introduction. When we look at nature, our values and beliefs dictate that there are some aspects of the environment that we consider better than others. For example, insects are usually low down on the list compared to animals with fur. If we were asked to save the life of a snake or a bunny rabbit, the snake will almost always lose out. It is easy for us to compare two animals and determine which one lives and which one dies because of the way that we attach value to them. But is a rhinoceros worth more than a snake? Is a puppy worth more than a crocodile? Is a lion worth more than a dentist? However important these rankings are, it is more important to realize that every aspect of nature has a role to play in the greater scheme of things. Even if we don't understand how an animal or plant adds value, we have to realize that the mere fact that it exists is an indication that it adds value in some way. An important question to ask ourselves is, would it be possible to put a monetary value on every aspect of nature? And if so, how do we decide what that value would be? Attaching a monetary value to natural resources has been the cornerstone of economic development, which in turn provides the legitimacy for its existence. Those aspects that we perceive to be of little value to us are ignored and suffer from neglect. Those aspects that we perceive to be of great value, those aspects that we can make money from, enjoy substantial conservation efforts and protection, but also suffer from exploitation and abuse. At first glance, wetlands do not provide any benefit to humankind, as they are often regarded as stinky, soggy, snake-infested mosquito breeding grounds. In lieu of all these alluring qualities, the value of a wetland is benchmarked at a lower level than land that can be used to grow agricultural crops. Many carnivores are threatened or endangered, because they do not offer any perceived value for mankind. Unless hunted for sport, they hold little value as a commodity. Sharks are an animal that most people would think are of no use to the human race, except for making movies and soup. In the same way that crocodiles have little value except for making handbags and shoes. Although these predators may eat the odd stray human, there is no escaping that they are vital for a healthy ecosystem. There is a widely held belief that aspects of nature have no value unless they can be commercialized or converted into a commodity. Assigning a value to nature has proven to be a conundrum because of the way that we view natural assets. Author and conservationist David Suzuki said, "Economics is so fundamentally disconnected from the real world that it is destructive." In 1776, Adam Smith, a clergyman by training, planted the seed for modern economics by writing his book The Wealth of Nations, which quickly became a classic. Economics continues to fail to recognize the extent of the role that the natural world has to play. Economics has been described as a manipulative man-made scheme, of which we have seen more than a few recent failures and breakdowns. Nature's contribution to economics is considered as having no or very little value. One of the few attempts to put an economic value on nature was undertaken by economist Robert Costanza. In his book Ecological Economics, he calculated a mid-range estimate of 3-1. In other words, for every $1 earned, 75 cents came as a direct result of natural processes. This means that 75 cents of value had to exist before 25 cents could be earned. In order to grow corn, there has to be the genetics that encode the seed of the plant. There has to be soil, nutrients, sunshine, and water. In this oversimplified example, we can see how nature has provided almost all of the requirements to grow corn. The farmer sows the seeds and harvests the corn. Even if the land is irrigated, the water has to come from the water cycle, which is a natural process. The gross domestic product, GDP, is a value of finished goods and services produced by a country during a period of time. It is used as an indicator of productivity and prosperity, and a way to compare the economies of two or more countries against each other. Developing countries score less than developed countries, but the GDP has many flaws and has been criticized by many. Costs associated with replacing property, writing off financial loss due to theft, corruption, and natural disasters are considered beneficial when calculating the GDP. The more sick a country's population, the more they spend on healthcare, and the more the GDP goes up. GDP does not reliably indicate the wealth of a country or how better the inhabitants are, but is rather a measure of economic activities. Since 1980, the global GDP has risen by 630%, and during the same period, poverty, hunger, and equality has also risen. India has a space program, yet millions of people in the country are without toilets. Russia is a resource-rich nation. However, the standard of living is below average. Costa Rica has prioritized social development, renewable energy, and environmental conservation, which has increased the quality of living far above average, demonstrating that economic growth does not increase quality of life. This is because once the easy wins of economic growth have been depleted, the focus turns to growth that comes with a higher cost and with less benefits. Studies show that a nation does not become better off just by becoming richer. Diseases, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, cholesterol, suicide, depression, stress, and obesity all increase as the GDP of a nation increases. Bobby Kennedy said, "GDP measures everything except that which makes life worthwhile." Ted Halstead, founder of Redefining Progress, created an alternative to the GDP called the Genuine Indicator Progress, GPI. It measures the well-being of a country by taking into consideration what is gained and what is lost during spending. GDP goes up when a country extracts natural resources from the ground and sells them on the market, but the GPI goes down according to the costs associated with the use of that resource, such as carbon emissions and the destruction of forests or topsoil. GDP fails to provide an indication of the health of the environment and society, but rather focuses on economics, fueling our fixation with profit at all costs. As an example of how skewed our economic system is, list three aspects of the natural world and rank them from 1 to 3, 1 being the most valuable and 3 being the least. These aspects could be anything, including a rock, a stream, soil, rain, the sea, or a tree. Now list three man-made objects. Once again, rank these items from 1 to 3. Mars One is a non-profit organization that is planning to establish a human settlement on Mars. The first one-way manned trip to Mars is scheduled for 2024. Imagine if you were one of the lucky Earthlings chosen to colonize Mars. Out of the 6 items on your list, which 3 would you take with you to Mars, and which 3 would you leave behind? Now scroll down, and let's get the conversation started.